It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Caroline, Willie, DeMays, we are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Joining us now is Chris Mason, C-Mace. C-Mace, appreciate you for joining us. The Predators 3-0 on this West Coast plus St. Louis road trip, and they've looked great in these past three games. And I've said, look, cancel all the concerts. Plan all the fun stuff and cancel all of it, because clearly the message was received, and it seems like that was the kick in the butt that this team may have needed.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to think, because last time I talked to you that, they just lost that game against Dallas. They're going into, these three really tough games. St. Louis was the hottest team in the league. Obviously, Vegas, we know how good they are and how well they play at home. And then L.A., who's another team that's been really good. Looks like they're kind of got a stranglehold on that first wild card spot, maybe competing for a top three position. And it's just been a pleasure to watch this group play the way that they, want to play. They say they're going to play. And we talked about a lot of the inconsistency. I see the depth scoring last two games. It's been a different goal scorer. I think the top lines only got one of the goals, and it was an empty netter. Nyquist in Vegas. So this team is just, it's crazy. One minute you think, all right, we're selling everybody and, they're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe this is a good thing. They'll get, they got a bunch of UFAs and now they're playing themselves back into competing, for that wild card spot. But they've been really good.
And as good as the Preds have looked in these last three games, no one, and I mean no one, has looked as good as the Milwaukee Admirals have. I mean, Yaroslav Askarov has been absolutely lights out. He's got five shutouts in this 14-game winning streak of his own, and then an 18-game winning streak for the Milwaukee Admirals. Just to kind of put into perspective, from your goalie perspective, what Yaroslav Askarov is doing and just how impressive it has been.
It's been crazy. They're on. That's that's a really great storyline, and I'm sure really fun to be a part of. You get on a streak like that. I've never been on a streak like that, and not many people ever do. It's something that, obviously a massive rarity. And he's such a fun goaltender to watch. You see all the highlights and him going out and, poke checking guys on breakaways, scrambling to get back up, and his athleticism. He's really aggressive. Sometimes he gets caught out of position, but he finds ways to battle back in and make saves. And, that whole Milwaukee Admirals program is a bunch of great storylines. The young players, Willie just texted me, The Athletic just ranked the Predators 8th in terms of prospect depth, and they left a lot of good players off the list. So they're in a really, really good spot. Cody Hodgson just scored his first goal in 6 years as a pro after, overcoming his medical issues and getting cleared to play again. And it's just so fun to watch. And it's got to feel good as an organization. I think our fan base is really getting on board and starting to pay attention to, that team and the future of the Nashville Predators. And it's been great.
Chris Mason is with us. A few scenarios that we've tossed around about the future of the goaltending position. One thing that we talked about yesterday, one thing that Barry Trotz has mentioned, is making sure that Askarov is ready and not bringing him up too fast, not giving him too much too quickly. How do you know when a goaltender is ready for the NHL level?
Well, I think, maturity, everybody obviously is ready at different times. I think ability-wise, he's definitely, there's no question. When I saw him as in the first summer prospect camp, I could just tell he's special. He's gifted athletically. His skill level, is there already at an NHL level. But, mentally, I think it's a lot to process. And as that pressure of playing in the NHL. You need to, I think, get the experience that he's getting there, be the guy, get that confidence. You know, I don't think he's short on confidence, but, you know, to prove yourself at a pro level, play the amount of games that you need to play in order to develop. And, you know, now he's getting to a point where he's dominating. But again, I think when you're under the pressure every single game and every single night in the NHL, it's different. I've seen, you know, a lot of guys that have been considered as talented as Askarov come in too young and just never really materialize into into a stud 1A goaltender. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think if you handle that situation correctly, which the Nashville Predators have really done with at any position, but especially more at goaltending. You know, Pekka played, spent a lot of time in Milwaukee. Saros played a lot of time in Milwaukee. Both guys were probably ready ability-wise sooner than they came up into the National Hockey League, but they did it the right way. The maturity level is there, the understanding of how it's done, especially for a European or a Russian goalie in North America. But, you know, he's ready.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, talking about the Nashville Predators and their big win last night versus the Los Angeles Kings, and they've been on this heater as of lately. I guess they're doing well down in Milwaukee, and it's trickled up. It usually trickles down, but it's trickling up to the Nashville Predators as far as their winning ways. Now, when you see guys like Colton Sissons, Yakov Trenin, Novak, guys like that contributing the way they have been contributing over this winning streak, what does that tell you about the Nashville Predators at this point?
Well, that tells me that they have a chance. Mm-hmm. They have a chance to get that. I feel it's one wild card spot. There's 5-6 teams that are competing for that second wild card spot. And when you see that, they've got a chance because, you know, we talked about maybe riding that top line a little too much, depending on them. They carried this team for a big chunk of the season offensively and, you know, put them in a position to compete for that spot. But the reality of it is they're not going to get in if they don't get those contributions from guys like Sissons, who's had just a great year. You know, Novak coming around after his injury, took him a while. Cody Glass starting to play better. They need those guys to score. And Yakov Trenin, again, I think he's had a great year in terms of the way he's created chances, but the offense he's been kind of hot and cold and a little bit inconsistent in the production aspect of it. The young players, same thing. You know, Evangelista looking really good. And like any young player in the league, you know, they're going to have their roller coaster, their ups and downs. But they need those guys. And, you know, that's what happens when you get that. You know, you get a chance to beat everybody. And the power play's, you know, kind of been up and down lately. They got to get that to go. But if you can get those guys to score and just spread it around a little more consistency, then you're going to fight for that spot.
Do you think it's more so of a feel with Barry Trotz moving forward now, right before the trade deadline? Obviously, this stretch before the trade deadline is going to be huge in regards to wins and losses and where they sit in that last wild card spot. But do you think, as far as moves that they can potentially make, whether adding or subtracting, is it more of a feel than anything?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I don't know. My answer is all speculation. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, if you think about after that Dallas game, you're like, oh, all right, selling everybody, UFA, you're, you know, oh, listen, I'll take calls. All of a sudden you have these three games, you're like, ooh, kind of back in the mix here a little bit. So I think there's a plan in place. I don't see them, you know, adding unless you're going to add somebody that's a young player, you know, that can contribute now, that's going to be part of the future. I definitely don't see any rentals coming. But I think this is a thing that, you know, it's hard to get emotionally involved in it because if I'm a player on that team, I want to win. I know the organization has a goal that, hey, we got to build and we want to, you know, whatever the term is, you know, it doesn't matter to you in the room. You're there to win hockey games. Same for the coach. You understand that there's a vision, but that has nothing really to do with you or your mindset. But again, then Barry Trotz, he's got a vision. He's got a plan. He's got a long-term plan how he wants this to go, and the guys are really forcing the hand in exactly what those decisions are. Maybe you don't sell off everybody, but I think you know Barry's definitely going to listen to every call that comes in and see if, you know, something makes sense that maybe you get a guy now and a prospect instead of just selling everybody, you know, off for as many assets as you can get, as they kind of did last year. But it's going to be interesting, but he's going to listen to every call and see if it makes sense. There's no question. I think there's a plan in place.
I was Soros last night in particular. There's a look that I know you try to identify early in the game, the way he's moving when he's feeling it, when he's connecting all the dots. And I could tell you could see it right away last night, and he sustained it all the way through the game. What is it about that that's noticeable?
Well, it's the anticipation. You're seeing plays happen before they develop. You're able to fight through the traffic in front of you and find pucks being delivered from the outside a lot easier. It's just, the game slows down, and his movements are, more efficient, quick, and powerful. He's just ahead of the game. He's making it look easy. And, there's a lot of situations. LA was a fast game. It was kind of a little bit of a low event game, I think, for the, first two periods, but they would get odd man rushes. They'd get breakaways, and just his body language, not biting on, some of the fakes. I thought the guys that had the breakaways, had some really good moves on Saros, but he was able to, just to stay patient and then, make a really good save in a difficult situation look easy. And that's the other aspect of this whole thing. They're not going to get in without good goaltending, and they need Saros to get to that point that we've seen, a little bit this year, maybe not for as long of stretches as we've seen in the past, but I mean, his last two games have been spectacular against, high-end opponents. So if he can, get on one of those stretches that we've seen him so often, and a lot of times it happens in the second half, he's had those great runs in the second half, and it's demoralizing for the opposition. And I think you could see, St. Louis get frustrated. I think LA was getting frustrated. It just forces teams into different decision-making. And I think as that game went on, you could kind of see LA try to change their tactics a little bit. And it's just a goaltender can just get into the opposition's head. And, everybody knows how good Saros can be. But if he can sustain that, I think that's going to increase their chances so much more to try to get that last wild card.
We've talked about this a lot, and it started to come up in the circles with guys like Elliot Friedman noticing Tommy Novak is starting to play better. He got another point last night. He looks way more confident. He's now playing the game that he can play when he's on, and that's huge for the Predators. He's an important player to them. I would think that to get to the playoffs this year, I would be hard pressed to see if they could make it without him being there at all. But the question is, what's he worth, right? I know all of us have kind of kicked that around because he's a unique player.
It's tough because he's a little bit older. He's had some success. He's also, he's also had some cold stretches, but he's so gifted. He's such a heads up. He's got the ability to slow games down with his heads up play. You just watch him. He's always sticking on his heads up. His anticipation, the way he sets up, creating offense by using other guys' momentum, spinning off, and the vision that he has. I think that injury really hurt his stock a lot and just, made it more of a question mark as to what he is. It took him a while to kind of get his game back, which it often does for players when they miss a long stretch. But, now that he's coming, now that you see that talent, you see that ability, that confidence, he doesn't have the same indecision as he did, I think, when he first came back. But he's a special player. He can't find those guys all over the place. He's able to, play, good half wall on the power play and be able to hold the puck and try to set things up and then make the play that's necessary. It's a tough one, but I think if I'm Tommy Novak in his camp, I'm also looking at the opportunity here in Nashville opposed to, maybe going somewhere. Is he going to be a second line center on a contender? you know, if that's the move that happens, or do they wait to the summer? You know, it's got to be the right deal. But for Novak, I think he's in a position where they really value him here. They've given him a great opportunity, and I understand, and I don't blame players for, you know, trying to get their worth. Is it something that you, which Nashville has done a really good job of over the years, is you take a little bit longer term, less, you know, salary per year, but you have that security, and then, you know, maybe try to hit the home run on your next deal. It's tough, but I think, you know, him playing well right now is obviously good for the team's success, good for his value. It's just going to be interesting to, you know, to find out what that landing spot is, and if they can get something worked out here and with the Preds.
Chris Mason, C. Mace, appreciate you for stopping by. Enjoy the rest of this road trip. I have heard that you and Willie are on a full tour of California, north to south, south to north, you know, every which way. So we appreciate your time, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, C. Mace. Chris Mason, he is the very best. All right, coming up next, we'll get into your thoughts on this because we have some reaction, some Predators talk, so we'll get right into your phones. Plus, there was a tweet that was circulating around with Titans fans, and I know that Titans fans were like, oh my goodness, I don't know the big deal. I don't see the big deal, but we'll discuss it and get into your phones coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.